Welcome, welcome, dear listener. You have reached it. You have reached the Pirate Monk podcast from Pirate Monk Radio. This is just an opportunity provided to you by the SamsonSociety.org. And I'm here with my illustrious leader. And his name is, of course, Nate Larkin. Hi, Nate.
Well, I get to be illustrious today.
Illustrious today.
Good. I'm comfortable with that. That's not right. Comfortable with being called the leader, though.
Well, I know.
Dear leader, I think you should call me.
Dear leader. Mein Kampf.
No, we have no leaders in Samson. Well, everybody leads.
Well, we're all here, me, Nate, and our fearless engineer,
Mundo.
So we are here to... for another episode of your favorite podcast. And Nate, the numbers are up, right? I mean,
you know, it's crazy. I saw this week that the average podcast has an audience of 60.
Okay.
We're adding at this point 80 new subscribers a day. Rapidly closing in on that magic 10,000 number.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is. So tell your friends, tell your pets. to subscribe. Did you go to the meeting last week?
You know, I wanted to go to the meeting. I intended to go to the meeting. But work was insane.
Insane.
And I never got there.
Yeah.
Which, in one sense, was tragic. In another sense, wasn't. I talked to several guys who were there, and turns out it was a fabulous meeting, as it usually is when I don't go.
Well, there you go.
And... as I find myself saying a lot, Samson has meetings, but it's not about the meetings.
No, it's not about the meetings.
Samson is a 24/7 deal, and Samson really lives between the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly in our silos.
Luckily for you, right?
Yeah.
Because you never go.
Oh, now, come on. That reminds me, by the way, of a letter I got this week from Ocala Rubin.
Ocala Rubin, that's a friend of Ocala Mike's, right?
Yeah. He says, just listening to the podcast from April 12th, I wanted to drop you guys a line. I'm in Ocala Mike's group, and I appreciate him and you very much. I like the new Silas-charged format a lot, that new meeting format where we talk more and explain more about the role of the Silas.
Mm.
He says, after attending the meeting for a year, over a year, I'm finally developing, really developing, a Silas relationship. And it absolutely works when you work it.
That's right.
Thanks, guys, for having the courage to step out and encouraging the rest of us to join you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. And, you know, I actually did an interview. We did an interview with them when we were at the University of Florida.
Just a few weeks ago.
Ocala Group. And I think this is the actual topic that we talked about, was the meeting outside of the meeting, meeting between the lines, as it were. And
why don't we play that interview?
Okay, let's play that now. We're back at the Pirate Monk podcast from SamsonSociety.org. And Nate, we've been attending the inaugural, weekend, collegiate weekend for the Pirate Monk fraternity. And we're at my alma mater, the University of Florida, and we're here at the Baptist Student Center. And some great guys came in to help us run some meetings this morning. And
we have heard here a couple of times on the Pirate Monk podcast during the letters portion, one of our favorite correspondents is
Ocala Mike.
Ocala Mike.
And that's because I'm from Ocala. I grew up in Ocala, went to Vanguard High School.
Oh, it's because of you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's all about me. I think you know that. Haven't you heard that song? Okay.
You wrote it.
I probably did. So anyway, it's Mike.
Ocala Mike. Mike Whitaker.
And Dave
is here in the flesh.
That's right. And
David Giacola.
The Italian.
The Italian.
So it's Mike, Ocala Mike over. And Dave the Italian. Yeah, that's right. They call you David, or they call you Dave?
Either one, but David.
Yeah, I call myself David, and everybody else calls me Dave. Okay, just so you know.
Is that bothering you?
Yeah, really, shut up. Nobody asked you. I'm going to start posting pictures of you on the internet soon.
I first met these guys a couple of summers ago during the Pirate Monk, the Samson Society road cruise.
Oh, yeah.
When we got in the car and we drove to meetings in 22 states.
Right.
Yeah. And so we were at First Presbyterian, as I recall, in Ocala. Afterwards, we went out, hung out at a, it was a great night. We were at a steakhouse. And Oh, it was a great story, which we won't go into.
But wait, I just remembered how that goes at the end. I can't tell that on here.
I remember we went to a steakhouse, and we didn't realize you guys were going to buy steak.
Yeah.
When we offered to get your meal.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. That's right. Nice.
We had a couple single guys competing. They were trying out pickup lines on the waitress. It was hilarious.
Oh no!
Absolutely hilarious.
Hey. Golly.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I would just love to have heard Nate's pickup lines, but that's all.
No, they were single
guys. Okay. Oh, single guys. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So, you guys, you're hosted by First Pres there.
Are you still?
No.
Good.
They showed up.
Well,
not doing.
Good, but you know.
We're hosted at a. It's at a church, but it's really the school of the church, and it's a school building, but we meet in the youth room of the school.
Really?
So, okay.
That's kind of cool.
They got couches. It's comfortable.
What church is that, by the way?
Good Shepherd Presbyterian.
Good Shepherd Press. Oh, I know that. Lord Lyle and those guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't got it. And Lordy was up in Nashville, and that's the group of guys that I followed up when they were trying to do rock and roll. So,
now, did you guys get started? At what point did your group get started?
I don't know the exact date.
Yeah. Now,
we had been meeting probably for a couple months before.
Before the road, we showed up on the road years. Okay. And can you describe for us, we were talking not long ago with the Palatka Pirates, and they're kind of describing the life cycle of their group, and they had some pretty tough years with, you know, small nucleus, people orbiting in and out. Describe kind of the life of
the evolution,
life cycle of
the Ocala monks there.
We've been pretty steady now with about, I'd say, 8 to 13 people. They're the core people. You
nice.
Know? Like I wrote in before, I think one thing our group struggles with is I think we need something just to kind of push us over the edge into the fellowship. We struggle with the Silas thing. And a lot of us know each other, and so it's easy to be really casual with the Silas.
Right. Giving each other a pass or, like, not take it.
Yeah.
Right, take it there. Be real kind of.
Yeah. Well, like, I if I'm struggling with something, it's easy to call someone, but I don't always call someone when I'm not necessarily falling, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, and then I fall, and then, okay, right. I need to call someone, you know?
Okay.
So we're not doing the daily thing very well. Some of us got it pretty good, but
I think David has it. I just don't think you got it.
Yeah,
so,
he's got it.
it's easy for the Samson group to be something that you just do on Monday nights.
Right.
Yeah, that's when we meet on Monday nights, and not really follow it through throughout the rest of the week with making calls to Silas's. And I know I have problems with that myself.
That is the, in my experience, that is the single toughest skill to acquire.
Yeah,
it's the surrender because it requires so much surrender. To make the daily phone call is just rough.
Yeah,
but that really—that's the corner that has to be turned.
Mm. And have you noticed, like, in all these groups that we've like gone to, there's two guys usually that are like the guys. You know what I mean? That kind of like are the juice for the group. And that looks like it's you two in this group. You know what I mean? I think we need a new. A section on the show called 2x2, and it's just hints, you know, for these guys who are out there doing the work. I mean, you heard they've gone through all that stuff. They had a lot of good ideas, you know.
Yeah.
That
you're talking about the Palatka guys now.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. The Palatka guys had a lot of good ideas when we were interviewing them earlier, and they, you know, just the you guys are married, right? Well, David's not, but Mike is.
I'm married to his sister, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay, and we'll be back. No, I'm sorry. No, so that's just too weird. Okay. And
that's
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fellowship.
Great.
So, y'all,
You know, like the whole getting together and doing things together outside of the group. That to me is...
We know these guys are at least getting together at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right. Exactly. So now we need to get everybody else on board, right?
We actually, you know, we always have the after meeting. It's always great. But a couple times now we've done what we call the Samson and the Pyro Monks. The church is on a lot of property, and so there's a big fire pit out there. And so a couple times now we've just, after the meeting, walked over to the fire pit. Last time we actually had the fire department called on us, which was pretty funny.
Success!
The cop rolled up and he's like, okay, I guess the church isn't on fire. And we're like, nope. And he's like, well, you're going to have to sell your story to the fire department. And he laughed and took off. And so,
wow.
But it's been great because at those times when we do the fire, everyone's able to come who's at the meeting. So. Yeah.
And you can only light so many fires, though, so, right? Yeah. So,
but that's good. How far off-site is your meeting after the meeting? Typically, where do you go?
It's like 5 miles away because the church is kind of out in the country a little bit.
I see.
Yeah, that's wow.
Okay, so but if you have your on those times when you can have your meeting after the meeting right there, everybody can stay. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should build a pub next to the church.
Yeah,
I'm thinking other Presbyterians. I think they'll go for it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that one of the things that the Balaga guys told me too was that they played on Sundays. I think they got together and they played. Actually, he said they. I had to rebuke him. They played Smear the Guy with Same Sex Attraction Issues. And I was like, that's not good, you know.
Yeah.
So and I took him to task. I want you to know.
Okay, good for
and,
you.
And that they've repented of that, and now they're just going to call it Gator Ball. So there you go.
Okay. So they play a little football, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, it's a game where whoever's carrying the football, you just kill them.
Oh.
So really, it should probably just be called the Tennessee Vol Ball, and you just kill the ball. You know
okay.
what I mean? Yeah.
All right.
And that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, we appreciate you guys and everything you're doing, and you know, we're just encouraging you to continue to do things outside of the meeting, figure out the after meeting. Get as many books and as many hands as you can. Don't think of it in terms of the ministry of your church. Get your wives involved. Do stuff like activities, you know, that are actual activities outside of that thing, you know. But thank you for you two, like, doing the work and pushing it forward, you know.
And how do guys find your meeting?
I think we're on the website.
Okay.
We've had a couple guys come from that.
All right.
And that's called the... on the website, it's called the Ocala Pirates.
Yeah, Ocala Pirate Monks, something like that.
Ocala Pirate Monks, and you just can you just type in a city?
You can, yeah. Under the meeting section in the meeting search, you could type in Ocala and it'll come up, or type in Florida and it'll come up.
Okay.
And we've got guys from a few different churches, so a couple of pastors in the area know that if you know if someone's talking to them with some of the struggles, you know, that they can refer them to us.
That's good.
And you know, I believe in the book method, you know, like you guys talk about, just giving someone a book.
Yeah, it just takes a while, you know what I mean? And we are a fast food culture, and we're ready for the fast food microwave answers, you know, so that really is the slow burn, like we talked about last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's the slow burn,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, but we do appreciate you. You can find these guys under the Ocala Pirate Monks on SamsonSociety.org, and we'll be back on the Pirate Monk podcast.
She wants to wear my shirt to bed. She wants to make every stray a pet and drive around in my truck with no place to go. But she needs to feel that vibe. The woman loves her no more. So she's everything I want and more. Her real desire is to know I'd walk alone out on the wild.
And we're back at the Pirate Monk podcast. Nate, did you get any letters this week?
I did. In addition to that note from Ocala Rubin, got this one from Charles in Augusta, Georgia. He says, I haven't heard any more about the Athens Academy event since you mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago. Is the event still on? Can you give us details? Is it a single night, or will you run meetings the next day like you did in Florida? Would it be something appropriate to bring my 16-year-old son to? Any info you could give would be great. Well, Charles, I just posted something this morning on the main page at SamsonSociety.org. There on the lower left-hand side in the events section. Some more info. Yes, the event is on. It's this Friday night, 7 o'clock at Presentation Hall at Athens Academy in Athens, Georgia. It'll run just Friday night from 7 to 9. If your son's old enough to look at porn, he's old enough to come to the event. Nobody under the age of 17 will be admitted without a parent. Hope to see you there. Bring your friends.
That's great. Anything else?
Yeah. I got this note from the guy whose letter we read last week on that great podcast with Chip Dodd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said, I don't even know how to write a reply that can even come close to conveying my gratitude for this week's podcast. Mm. I cried, I laughed, I cried some more, and was filled with thankfulness. I would be lying to say it was easy to hear because, truthfully, it was not. Hearing my story read by someone other than me was alarming, but it was also freeing. Mm. I finally felt like somebody knows who I really am, just another messed up person who needs redemption.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say other than thank you. Chip's words were what I needed. I can't say thank you enough. The podcast is truly a blessing. I know this is a daily fight, but I know with brothers around me, I can do anything and be myself at the same time. Thanks for the prayers and the podcast.
Right, and I just want to thank Chip so much for spending so much time just kind of going through that letter. And you can send the $50,000 to me, care of the Pirate Monk Podcast. Because I think that's his regular fee.
Oh, wasn't that an awesome podcast?
It was. It was
really
phenomenal.
Yeah. And I've been reading A Perfect Loss all week. It's just tearing me up.
Yeah. I've been reading The Voice of the Heart, rereading
The
Voice of the Heart. And, it's really just really good basic info for folk who are really kind of have a hard time making relationships and keeping relationships. Like if you're the kind of person that sort of gets along for a while, you know, and then the people kind of disappear, you know, or you disappear from the people, you know.
Yeah.
It's really an exploration into that and why you do the things you do and how to get in touch with your needs, your thoughts, your wants, your desires, those kind of things.
Mm.
And be honest about it with yourself if nobody else, you know.
Yeah, so.
Any other letters?
Yeah. I got one more I want to read. This guy writes, Nate and Dave, your podcasts have been a lifeline for me in my after recovery, my life after recovery. I listen to each one several times during the week and absorb not just the good information, but the spirit of the podcast. I'm reconnecting with the limp I walked with as I went through 2 years of recovery from sexual brokenness and then stayed on as a volunteer for 4 years as a group facilitator.
Wow.
We're so blessed to have New Creation Ministries here in the Fresno, California area as a resource for sexual addiction healing. I recognize that I continue the healing process each day. My graduation from New Creation was actually a move from the very intense initial part of recovery into the long-term lifestyle of recovery. You guys really facilitate this with these weekly podcasts. You've also shown me how important it is to continue to have genuine, authentic relationships with other men. We have no local Samson group in my area, so I'll be starting one this week. Please keep the new Fresno group in prayer as we initiate our Monday night meeting. Is there any other night?
Yeah, really.
I'll keep you posted as to how it goes.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it is. It's not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon. It's a long road.
Yeah.
And I think people who see recovery or repentance or any one of those other things as being an event, you know, just a one-time thing, rather than a long process, a continuation of those things is just fooling themselves and setting themselves up for failure.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I really believe recovery is an arc more than a pivot. It requires a daily turning.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of y'all who've been listening to the music that we've been playing so far this morning even are probably wondering what the heck. You know, these things don't have anything to do with the topics, but they sort of do. I have a good friend, Brett Warren, who's going to join us today. And
it's a marathon that he's run for a while, this marathon of recovery. And we're going to be talking to him about his life in the country music industry and life in Florida before that and some other things as we discuss addiction, recovery, and the marathon that it is on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
This is for the nobody, one in the crowd has got a lost look on his face. This is for the downtrodden, one that the world's forgotten, waiting on a better day. I'm in no position to judge them. Heaven knows they're just like me. I'm not alone, knowing what it's like. It's wondering where you're going in this crazy life. And I'm not alone, knowing how it feels to pray to God and sometimes wonder if he's real. I got friends that do. Yeah, I got friends that do. This is for the lost junkie who spent all his hard-earned money on something that he hates. This is for the found guilty. You ain't getting out until he pays his debt to the state. And I'm in no position to judge him. Heaven knows it could have been me. And I mean, I know what it's like to lose your job because of hell. Got you gripped too tight. And I may not know how it feels to lay your head on a prison bed in a world of steel. But I got friends that do. Yeah, I got friends that do. This is for yours truly, just a little verse to remind me, we've all got somewhere to turn. And I mean, I know what it's like to send my only son to save the world and watch him die. And I mean, I know.
We're back at the Pirate Monk Podcast from SamsonSociety.org, and Nate, I'm so happy that we have a friend of mine from the last few years in the studio today.
Oh, this rocks the house.
It does. He's got the greatest stories. You know how we talk about, you know, really, if you try to teach this stuff to people, you know, you can teach them the steps and everything, but like when you tell them stories, it's just like really like grabs hold, you know. And the king of the stories is my friend Brett Warren. Brett, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor. So good to have you here, man.
This is cool.
Brett is a country music songwriter here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Legendary,
really. I mean, he's written a lot of stuff. You may have heard his hit on the radio right now with Martina McBride. What is that called?
It's called Wrong Baby Wrong.
Wrong Baby Wrong.
Wrong Baby Wrong Baby Wrong.
And you can catch him on tour, actually, right now with Tim McGraw.
He and his brother, Brad.
And the Southern Voice Tour.
Yep.
And that is with Lady Antebellum, is that right?
Yep. Lady Antebellum and a band called Love and Theft. And we're just out there playing in his band and...
Wow.
Writing tunes and having fun.
Recovery's so easy on the road, too, isn't it? So.
Yeah. I remember one time our manager asked us if we wanted to be on the show Temptation Island.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, we ride around on a tour bus. That's Temptation Island.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good for you. Mm-hmm. I think that would really work.
No.
Yeah. Now, you, all of the songs that we're playing today are songs that you have written. That's the tie-in, if y'all didn't get it before.
Okay.
Is that my friend here, Brett, has written all those songs, and they're from different artists, of course. And then we even put a couple of demos in there for you to hear, just so you could hear some of the raw stuff, right?
Yeah, I put one song, give you guys, I Got Friends That Do, which is a demo. Tim McGraw actually cut it, but I just put our demo version in there just because it's funkier.
Oh, are you putting out, are you giving us one that hasn't been cut yet?
Hit. There's a song, actually, David heard it, mutual friend of ours, Samson, brother of ours, played it for David. He was like, I love that song, and it's never been really heard by any artist yet. We just did the demo last week. It's called I Don't Need This Anymore.
All good. Yeah, what's heard it first on the Pirate Monk podcast.
What's the story about that?
We have a song called I'm Only Jesus, which Tim McGraw cut.
Right.
Then a mutual songwriting buddy of mine came and said, hey, Brett, I also have a painting business, and there's a friend of mine that I buy my paint from. He's an old guy here in Nashville, and he found out I was a songwriter and said, hey, can I give you my bucket list of songwriters I want to meet? And he said, well, who do you want to meet? And he said, the Warren Brothers. And, you know, he was as surprised as me and my brother were. Why do you want to meet us? You know, really? Who wants to meet?
Really?
But he said, no, there's a song they wrote, I'm Only Jesus, that changed my life, and I want to just – I have a gift for him. I want to just meet him. I want to take 2 minutes of their time. So my songwriting buddy called me and said, dude, I never do this, but I gave this old dude your phone number. Mm-hmm. So this guy calls me and says, I want to meet you and your brother for 2 minutes. I want to give you a gift. I'm not a crazy, weird fan or whatever. And I said, okay, we're leaving at the Kroger tomorrow in Brentwood, Tennessee, to go out on the road at 9 o'clock and be there at 8:55, and we'll hang out for a few minutes.
Yeah.
So we meet this guy, and he comes to the parking lot, and we're standing there, and we small talk for a few minutes, and then he proceeds to tell us that his wife has been in and out of recovery and is alcoholic, and they've had some really hard times, and he had decided he was just going to pretty much end the whole thing, and he was just going to wait till after the holidays. And his wife, for Christmas, bought him the Tim McGraw CD, and he listened through to it. He got to I'm Only Jesus, and he rewound it, and he listened to it again, and he rewound it, and he listened to it again, and he rewound it. And he said, after the fourth time of hearing it, he said, I realized I don't need this anymore. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a bullet.
Wow.
And he handed it to us. And we're standing there in our workout clothes. I thought the guy was going to hand me a leather bracelet he had made or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He handed us a bullet, and he said, I don't need this anymore. I figured you guys would want it.
Wow.
And he handed it to us, and we just had tears rolling down our face. Mm. And the guy gave us a hug, got in his truck, and left. And that was it. And I just thought, wow, you know, all the years of not working in my recovery and not being sober that I miss, you know, and having the ability to write songs, how many opportunities like that did I miss?
Yeah.
Mm. And it was just so awesome. I mean, I told the guy, I said, listen, we're in the music business where it was about 99.9%. crazy stories. I said, this is awesome. Thank you for telling us this. You did more for us, you know. Mm. Right. So anyway, from that, we wrote this song, I Don't Need This Anymore.
Let's take a listen to that on the Pirate Monk podcast.
Well, I was standing in the parking lot at the Kroger store, and the old man handed me a single silver bullet and said, need this anymore. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, we all start with a dream. You got a dream, don't you, son? Day by day I let mine slip away with all the things I've done. Once upon a time I was a hero, and I got the scars to prove it. If you don't use your bravery, trust me, boy, you'll lose it. And it's a mighty good night to die. That's what I came here for. And he handed me a single silver bullet and said, I don't need this anymore. I've loved all my addictions, most of them I've loved twice. Whiskey, pills, and women, I guess pride's my favorite vice. They told me I should talk to somebody. I told them war is hell, and I built this wall around me, and one day it all just fell. And it's a mighty good night to die, that's what I came here for. And he handed me a single silver bullet and said, I don't need this anymore. You have no idea why I'm talking to you. You remind me of a little boy whose hair was the color of the sun. And I spent them all city blue. And I left him and his mother when the boy was just about to. And my finger was on the trigger. And I saw you in the mirror. And he'd have to live with that. And I didn't want him to. That's what I came here for. Living in the land of the free, I've been a prisoner of my own war. And I was standing in the parking lot at the Kroger store, and he handed me a single silver bullet and said, I don't need this anymore.
We're back. Nate, that's a powerful song, man. So the guy, you know, he's how many guys out there right now feel like they've exhausted all their options, and the last option is that silver bullet, you know.
Yeah.
And to be able to be an artist, Brett, and to be able to say something to somebody somewhere to the point where they actually change their mind is a rare thing, you know what I mean? And to get to know about it, uh-huh, as the writer is an even rarer.
Right.
You know.
What's a sort of a truth with songwriters that like to push buttons is, you know, it's not like we're Gandhi and we have all the answers. I got to tell you, every single time I write a song that pushes somebody's button, I'm writing it to myself.
Yeah.
I'm reminding myself or telling myself or digging into that feeling that I have. It's not like, oh, I don't struggle with things. You know,
yeah,
here, I've got it all figured out. Let me tell you what I know. It's more like I'm writing it to myself going, man, I need help. Worse than anybody.
Yeah. And that struggle started down in Florida. You grew up in the Tampa area?
Yeah, I grew up in Tampa, Florida, but I went to a small Christian school in Oldsmar. We went to Sunday morning, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, Saturday youth group, Christian school from the 4th grade all the way through the 12th grade.
Wow.
Actually, once I had already become sober, I met another buddy of ours who teaches at my son's school, and he gave me your book, Nate.
Oh.
And when I read through it, at this particular point, I was already sober, just how you plugged in AA with and just how you grew up. And I know you're not supposed to say farting in church on the radio, but I remember just reading and just having tears of joy when I was listening to Nate talk about farting in church and laughing. That's the greatest part of the book.
Right.
But, you know, it's... That's the world that I grew up in, where to be a Christian, you said, dang it, and you
right,
you know, sped. Yeah. You got speeding tickets, and that was sort of the worst thing you ever did.
Right.
And if you did more than that, you were screwed up. But
you were a teenager in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I graduated in 1989. Was in a band since the 11th grade, and we were a Christian band for years. And then... We just couldn't quite be good enough. We just didn't really, you know, have a real relationship with God. We didn't have a relationship with other men, as young men, which is something I just love. The fact that what you guys are doing, teaching younger guys from high school up to have a brotherhood. We just didn't have that. And it led to us moving to Nashville. We got a record deal and we're out on tour, on big tours, and flying around in private jets and living the dream, and sponsored by Bud Light and Crown Royal. And we already had major alcohol and drug issues, and then my father passed away in 01, and we didn't realize it at the time, but my brother and I were dealing with severe, just mourning.
Right.
And didn't really, we weren't able to put our hand on it, right. Our finger on what exactly it was. And our just partying vibe that we had going went into medicating at a really high level.
Right.
And we were gone. We were on a tour bus. We had our own driver. All the ingredients for just being able to completely destroy yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
And to escape and to pull away and not have
yeah.
a healthy relationship with God or anyone else for that matter.
So you sort of open the doors to the stuff. You've already got this sort of addictive kind of behavior going on, but we call it partying when we're teenagers, you know.
Exactly.
That, you know, and then, like, something really happens, something really heavy. So now it just kind of flips the switch all of a sudden, and you're using it to just get by.
Exactly. Yeah. You're relying on that power instead of the power of God.
Mm.
And you think, you know, we were raised in church, and I knew everything about the Bible, and I could quote chapters of Scripture, and, you know, I've heard every sermon there was to hear, but I didn't have that real relationship with God because I hadn't really surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily cool to say, you know, in church, hey, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I have some serious problems.
Right.
And
but
just,
that couldn't happen. You were in Christian school.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. You can't have any problems in Christian school. I mean, the fact that we did drugs on Wednesday night after youth group was, you know, don't think about that.
Wow.
Problems are problems, and, yeah. and kids are kids, and the world is there. You're going to have to, as parents, now me, I my kids are involved in youth groups, but I know that they're not the saving grace.
Right, yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, teach my children that they need Jesus. He is the Redeemer, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I had reached the point. I've been sober a little over 5 years now.
Mm.
I reached the point, I was out in California and just had a really long night, and I don't think I'd gone to bed yet, and it was early that morning.
Mm.
And I just woke up from like a 30-minute pack coming in and out, and I said, I called my wife and I said, this is it. I don't care if I've got to quit the music business. I don't care what I got to do, but I'm changing. I'm going to go to meetings. I got to find out how to get out of this because I'm not happy here anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And I know it. And I had reached, you know, they say you create your own bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew right at that moment that that was going to be my bottom. Mm. I wasn't going to get worse before I created, you know, that was where I was going to stop.
Mm.
And, came back and worked a 12-step program and got involved, got a sponsor and just my brother got sober at the same time. We have friends. We met 4 or 5 times a week for breakfast, and we would have, you know, just there's like you say, it's not just about the meeting. We'd have meetings that weren't meetings.
Right. Yeah.
We just hook up to write songs and not even write a song. We'd have a meeting. You know,
it's like, exactly.
And we would just, the main thing was we just started being honest with ourselves and other people. I could just say, hey, I have a serious drug problem. I want to drink because I don't want to deal with the real world.
Mm.
I want an hour to escape and not have to be responsible or mature or worry that I'm the spiritual leader in my family and I have to be a father.
Mm.
I don't want to have to worry about that. Well, I want to just escape for 2 hours.
Right.
And just to say it out of your mouth was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it just grew and grew and grew. And then somebody handed me your book, and it's just, you know, recovery is awesome. We all need it. Whatever you have, whether it's anger, sex, drugs, alcohol, just plug it in.
Yeah.
Get involved in a group and be honest.
That's it.
And once you lay it out on the table and surrender, it says God makes you strong in your weakness.
Yeah.
So as soon as you go, I'm weak, then all of a sudden he gives you a little muscle to get through it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these addictions, they always take you places you don't want to go, right?
Oh, we used to play in San Diego a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember me and my brother coming to in some sort of a den in Tijuana with a guy with a machine gun on his desk looking at us, and I just thought to myself, how did I get here from Bible class in Oldsmar, Florida? But I was there, you know. The devil's smart. He knows.
Yeah,
he knows what'll get you.
Yeah.
We always, you know, that was our, because we grow up in Christian schools and churches, we wanted to prove that we were just as cool and tough as the world. We can handle what you guys can do.
Mm.
We're better at it, you know.
Yeah.
We had a chip on our shoulder.
Right.
And
you actually sort of proved it.
Well, my friend, we have a friend, a songwriting buddy that's in recovery. He said, I experimented with drugs and it was a success. The experiment was a success.
So what's after that? So you sort of get there and you
reading Nate's book and you're sort of plugging the whole Jesus relationship back into the whole thing. And now, what does like your recovery look like now? Like what's the path? I mean, how are you staying sober? I mean, how's that working? What's it look like?
You know, I, once again, I was talking about just knowing all the scriptures from a kid, and my mom is so happy. I mean, my mom is just the happiest lady because they say if you raise your kids in the way that they should go and they get older, they will not depart from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the things that I learned that just I sort of threw in the trash can in the back of my mind are coming back out, and they mean so much to me.
Mm.
That the Christian walk is not a race. It's not a foot race. It's a marathon.
Right.
It's a slow day-to-day process.
Right.
And for me, it's just a daily recovery, and it's keeping a sponsor, it's keeping a daily recovery, it's being honest, it's going to meetings, and I've just made that part of my life. Mm. I have a friend who is sober right now, but we would refer to him as a dry drunk. He sort of feels like that he's being punished because he can't drink anymore.
Mm.
I look at it as a gift.
Yeah.
And I haven't always. At first, I kind of felt like it was a punishment, but now I'm in the gift stage where I'm just so thankful that I've been given a second chance, and I see so many people that have lost way more than I've lost.
Yeah.
That have done way less.
Yeah.
Right.
And so with gratitude, but I, you know, not making five mistakes. We were talking about that earlier.
Right.
John F. Kennedy, when he wrecked his plane, my dad was a pilot, said, you know, he didn't know the aircraft. He flew at night. He flew in the fog. He flew over water. He flew with a broken foot.
Right.
I mean, there's like five or six things. I put these safeguards up, and I work a program so that I might be hit once or twice
right.
by temptation or the devil, but I keep the safeguards up where he can't unload on me.
Right. So you don't fail because you make one or two mistakes. It's
yeah.
because you make five or six or seven
exactly.
mistakes. Yeah.
I mean, if I quit going to meetings and quit doing a daily program and get frustrated and get mad, and lose my job, and have a severe fight with my wife, and wind up in a bar, and da-da-da-da-da, you know what? I'm a human being. I might fail, so I try to put myself in safe positions.
Mm-hmm.
That really struck me, a conversation we had. You forgot about it as soon as it was over, but it meant a lot to me.
Oh.
A few months ago in Starbucks. I saw you on a Monday morning, asked you how the weekend went.
Yeah.
And in typical Brett Warren fashion, you just said, man, it kind of sucked. Some things went wrong. I made some mistakes, but it didn't end in disaster because I'd done more things right than I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do remember that now. You got to be careful what you say, don't you?
Yeah.
Not in
You'll
here,
get quoted,
you
man.
No, but I mean in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to keep myself honest, and I'm not. I always say that I'm the same. I'm 1 foot from the ditch,
right?
And I keep that sobering truth that you know we can all fall if we take our eyes off of the daily routine and
yeah.
the routine of staying sober.
Yeah,
the path that we're all on.
Yeah,
and this yeah. conversation right here is like a meeting for me today.
Right.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's a lot. But I mean, if you say you know maybe. I had a fight with my wife and I masturbated then to say I got drunk and was snorting cocaine off some girl's butt. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's just me, but you know, I mean, just the idea that you have these safeguards in place and these speed bumps and there's a lot of things that can go wrong before it ends in disaster. You know?
Then I heard you guys talking about Silas earlier. I mean, just having a sponsor
yeah.
and somebody that you can reach out to and say, man.
Yeah.
If I could right now, I'd take this particular person and drown him in a lake. You know what I mean? Just you just got to be able to get out of your mouth this frustration and anger,
right.
or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right.
It's so and my father, who passed away, was just an awesome, awesome man, and he struggled with some addiction issues, but he was raised in that Baptist and in that Christian upbringing 20, 30 years ago, where you just men didn't tell each other that they had problems.
Right. Yeah.
And I would give anything to be able to go back
and help
to my dad and just say, you know, hey, it's okay. You can say it. You can tell me. I mean, as he was on his deathbed, he was telling me some of the things that he struggled with. And I remember just me looking at him and going, yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah.
He looked at me kind of like, what? I was like, yeah, I struggle with that too.
Yeah.
You know, but that was the era where you couldn't tell each other. I think
right.
the most important thing is just the Samson groups you have and being able to talk to somebody else and look at somebody and say, man, I struggle with
yeah.
pornography or alcohol or anger or frustration, you know, just.
And to speak in the present tense and to speak in detail.
That's such a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's like I have a friend
who
every time they tell me, it's like it's always in the past tense. It's always like, well, how are you doing? Well, I was talking to this one girl and everything and flirting with her behind my wife's back and stuff like that. But I'm good now. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, where was the phone call? Where was, you know, right. where was the, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can be as accountable or as unaccountable as you want to be. You can be as involved or as uninvolved. It's like you said, I work the program. I work it, you know, and if you don't.
It's the one disease that you know the cure for.
Yeah.
And the people who really work the program.
Yeah.
When I say the cure, there's not like a.
It's a treatment. It's an effective treatment.
It is a treatment that can, if you work it, will.
Yeah.
Take you from disaster.
Yeah.
Steal you from disaster.
Right.
But it is chemotherapy.
Yeah.
So it's going to feel like it's killing you while it's healing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. But I'm really thankful for knowing you guys and being able to be honest. I mean, I walk in Starbucks and I can look at Nate. How you doing in the morning, Nate? And if I need to tell him something, I know I could be as completely honest as I needed to be about something heavy duty to him while he's having his coffee. And he go, all right, buddy, me too. I'll think about you. You know, I mean, there's just such a great open honesty amongst the SAMHSA group and any addiction group.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key. That's the source.
Yeah, really, community is really the source. And the beautiful thing about SAMHSA is that it does sort of put Jesus back in the equation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But anybody who's done 12 steps and reads SAMHSA will totally recognize the program.
You know, funny you say that. My mom, when we first got sober, and this was before I had read Nate's book and even knew about SAMHSA, but my brother and I were involved in AA and working the program. And my mom's like, well, this doesn't replace your religion. And I feel this. I think that the 12-step program and the addiction program was a divine gift from Jesus Christ, from God.
Yeah.
I think just like they gave us the book of Psalms and Proverbs, God knew what our culture needed right now, and I think that it was definitely a gift from him.
I agree.
There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is so wrapped in this.
Mm-hmm.
People that are atheists find themselves believing in godly truths and and saying and doing
it's amazing how many of them find their way to Jesus. They were determined not to go to him, you know, but that's where the road goes.
And that's the thing. It's like so many of the problems will stem from, like you were saying, just the kind of upbringing, hardcore Pentecostal, not denominational necessarily, but anything that's like
really legalistic
and holiness movement type things, you know what I mean? It's like going to like push you to a place. I didn't know I wanted to do this stuff until you told me I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? And like,
I'd say half of my friends in recovery have God issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're going to need a bridge, you know, to get back there. And like, I think that's what AA becomes, SA.
Right. Yeah.
Different things like that. NA.
Yeah.
And
Those people have to be in a room where we can kind of talk in code about a higher power, and they won't get triggered until they get some healing.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
And then they figure out that, it wasn't Jesus I hated. It was the people. And then you can work on that. So
I was so raised in church so much every Sunday. It was a Baptist church where we spoke in tongues, and my brother and I memorized people in the church's prayer language because they said the same thing every week. You know, she come on a Honda, he come on a Kawasaki. And we just had so much baggage from phonies and snake handlers. I'm not saying that speaking in tongues, I'm not going into any doctrine.
Right.
Just saying we were raised in a crazy place.
Yeah.
And in my daily recovery, every single week I go to church, I have to sometimes I'll just close my eyes and I'll just think of Jesus. I mean, because I'm a funny person, I like to laugh. Mm-hmm. I just think of Jesus sitting there laughing, going, it's okay. There's some crazy people in here. Because if I went to a church that, you know, satisfied my, or, you know, somebody didn't make me snicker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes the song service, somebody gets a little too into it. They pretend they're an American Idol, and I'll sit there and go, oh, gosh, I can't be around this.
No.
This is enough. I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hear the preacher say, you know, what's the chapter, what's the verse that you use, Nate, where you say, you know, once you're saved, you don't have any problems anymore. You're a new creature. All things have become new.
Yeah,
all things are passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'll hear him say that, and I'll think, oh, no, don't tell me he's going to go into that. Once you're saved, you never have any problems again, please, or I'm getting up and running out.
You know?
So I deal with God issues every single week, but I just close my eyes and just, like you say, it's Jesus that I love, not the not the people.
Yeah. I was very fortunate. Both of you guys, Nate and Brett, that's your mutual story. I didn't have that. You know, my parents were like very bohemian, very, you know, and so it's like you go, oh, I wonder, you know, if I had the other side, if that would have been better. And this let me say no. No, issues are issues. And it's like, it's like, yeah, one might feel more free, but it's really like, oh man, you get there so much quicker. You know, I was probably in the place that you were when you were in your 20s when I was 16. You know what I mean?
Right.
And because there were no safeguards, no, you know, or anything. And I had that, also had that moment of waking up in Tijuana. Of course, it was Daytona Beach, but yeah.
I mean, I was, I didn't drink or do drugs or have sex or anything until I was almost 23 years old, which was, and I was in a band, which was, I mean, I was going to wait till I was married. I didn't drink. All my friends would drink and party.
Yeah.
And you'd think, man, I made it through the teen years. I didn't get DUIs. I didn't get a girl pregnant. I didn't have a drug problem.
Yeah.
Oh, you're home free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't have that relationship with God. I didn't have a brotherhood. I didn't have, you know, people that were in the Christian faith that were honest, saying, hey, man, we know you're going to struggle with this in life. And when you do, come over here.
Yeah.
Instead of the church going, hey, come in here once you don't have any problems.
Right.
And that's what I couldn't take.
You hadn't yet had that collision with your own depravity that makes redemption possible.
That's why he writes books, and I only write 3-minute ditties.
That's right. I gotta get it.
Ooh la la.
Well, there's definitely a song there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because Jesus didn't come. We say this all the time here. He didn't come to like make bad people have good behavior. You know, he came to make dead people live.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't like get there, you know what I mean? Get there where he's like, where is that relationship is, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just going to be all about the rules and the regulations. And it's going to be great. What if you'd have made it through to the end and persevered to the end and did all that stuff and didn't do any of that stuff? You know, didn't have any addictions, didn't have any like outward looking problems.
That's a good point. Cause I was going to say, I, as bizarre as it sounds, I am so thankful that I'm in recovery.
Yeah, me too.
Because I have a better relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with Christ, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have a better relationship with my children and my wife and my friends, and they're not perfect. And I never noticed till I got sober that that I can tend to be reclusive. And it's something I fight with every single day, and not just withdrawing from. I mean, I have to make myself be out there and be present.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something that I struggle with every day. But I mean, I just, I would have never known that. I mean, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
I'd just gotten drunk and had shallow bar relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm super thankful for the gift of redemption and being pulled out of it. That, to me, if you're out there and you're having problems and you think that I can never tell anybody, man, it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. You're going to thank God that you're a drinking, raging pervert like me. I love it. I mean, it's awesome.
You don't really want anybody to have to go through this stuff, but I think that we've talked about this too, and with other people all the time, that like addicts that really are in recovery oftentimes have a really better picture of the whole gospel and how it actually affects you and where you're at, because you really do get it. You know what I mean?
To me, like, recovery is the picture of salvation.
Right.
And it's like a physical picture of it or something.
And there's other parts of me, Nate, that really think that God thinks in some ways legalism is a bigger deal than some of the stuff that people go through.
Yeah.
And so he uses like addictions and things like that because he needs a big enough crowbar to like get that out of you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be a performance-based person your whole life, you're never going to know the Jesus of the gospel, because, you know, he's basically unnecessary because you're saving yourself. You're self-righteous, you know? And, but, you know, he's saying, well, you know, well, to get that out of you, watch this. And he like gives you over to something that you think you're okay. And then eventually, you know, you're doing things that you don't want to do and not doing things you do want to do. And so it's no longer you who's doing it, but it's sin and it's alive and it's in your members. And he says, watch me use this crowbar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hey, I'm only Jesus. You know?
That's it. That's it.
That's beautiful.
Bobby's got a Duster, 79, a bottle of Jack, and a 45. points it at his head and he starts to cry, too proud to ask me to save his life. Billy's in a limo on the Upper East Side, playing Russian roulette with a long white line. His wife gets a call at 3 a.m. saying Billy ain't never coming home again. She asked me why, and I said, I sure wish you'd believe, but everybody's free, and I'll help you if you ask me to. I gave every star a name, the sunshine and the rain, but I can't decide the road you choose. That's up to you. I'm only Jesus. Johnny had a good job breaking it in. Caviar parties with his well-to-do friends. Something was missing from his perfect little life. He threw in the towel and he called me one night. Betty was an orphan like so many kids. They taught her in school that I didn't exist. She had every reason not to talk to me, but every night before bed she got down on her knees just to tell me hi. And I said, I'm sure glad you believe, 'cause everybody's free, and I'll help you if you ask me to. I gave every star a name, the sunshine and the rain, but I can't decide the road you choose. That's up to you. I'm only Jesus.
Back at the Pirate Monk Podcasts. What a great song. You're a great writer, Brett.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
He's one of the best, and we're going to get together. We're going to write a bunch of hits. We're going to debut them all right here.
Well, you know, when you write songs for 10, 15 years and people play, you know, the four songs that you wrote that are any good during those 15 years, you wouldn't want to hear the 8,000 other ones that are terrible.
Yeah, that's one of the things I share with young writers too, is like you have to write about 10 bad ones to get to the one good one, you know. Some of them are just stepping stones, you know.
That's a fact.
Well,
that has an application in recovery, does it not?
Yes.
It does. Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to remind people that you are going to be in
Athens.
Athens, Georgia, this weekend.
This weekend at the...
Athens Academy, Presentation Hall, 7 p.m.
So if you need more information on that, please visit us at SamsonSociety.org. And in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll find events, and you'll find the Athens event there. Also, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you are doing and what questions you have, where you are in your recovery road, any suggestions that you might have that would help us to help other people. And you can send those to letters@SamsonSociety.org. Again, that's letters@SamsonSociety.org. And, Brett, we're going to end today with a...
Song of the Week.
Song of the Week. And this is stuff that you'll probably never hear on Christian radio. Actually, we've already played that. But this is a song that's out right now, right, in theaters. The movie's called
Letters to God.
Letters to God.
And the song's called Dear Mr. God. It's out right now. They asked us to write. They sent us a script, told us to write the theme song, and here it is.
And here it is. And you're listening to the Pirate Monk Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Dear Mr. God, I'm writing you today, because it seems like lately I've forgotten how to pray. I know I don't need this pen. Everybody likes to get a letter now and then. I'm sorry for not writing more, 'cause I need you, but it's hard to see why anyone as big as you needs anything from me. You know you're there, so how you been? I'm alright, but I can't lie. Sometimes I feel like giving in. You're all I've got, dear Mr. God. Sometimes I wish you lived next door, so over coffee you could tell me what you started all this for. I guess you saw that sunrise yesterday. Thanks for the reminder that you've never gone away. It gives me hope, telling me what you already know. I need you, but it's hard to see why anyone as big as you needs anything from me. You know you're there, so how you been? I'm alright, but I can't lie. Sometimes I feel like giving in. Dear Mr. God, tell me, do you ever cry? We forget to thank you for the good things in our lives. I know I can't always understand why you do the things you do, but I know in the end I'll make it through if I stand next to you. So here I am. Dear Mr. God, I'm writing you today, 'cause it seems like lately I've forgotten how to pray.